Welcome to the Business, Wealth and Mindset Podcast. Your space for real motivational interviews and cutting-edge business content to inspire your positive mental attitude. And now, your host, Alex Sopala.
Hey, Wiley.
Hey, brother, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. Please excuse the technology taking its time.
No problem at all. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. So it's
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you finally. I'm glad we were able to connect a little bit prior. So
yeah,
to this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got such an amazing story. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are really looking forward to capture the essence of Wiley and all the golden nuggets and things that we have to share. So I'm sure it will be a great conversation with yourself. So
absolutely, really intention is to make sure that you and your audience feel really connected to a very specific things that kind of move the needle for them.
Yeah.
New insights, really challenging, high performance and allowing them to expand their capacity, because that's what I really care about the most.
Yeah.
I can tell stories all day long about my background, and that's good. It's important to share.
Yeah.
When I dive in with you, I'm excited about talking to you and your audience about those aspects of optimizing and getting to that sustained peak performance.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. I thought probably initially, just to set the scene a little bit, if you can just give us a little bit of your background, actually, your experiences, humble beginnings and how you actually got to where you are. So because some of our listeners tend to relate to a little bit of a story, to get inspired as well, that, if Wiley, has reached this place from coming from this particular situation, maybe there's a bit of hope for us as well. So just set the scene for us with your story.
You know what? I love setting the scene. Understand that my life experiences really cultivated, my own innate gift. And I built my business around that gift. So to go back a little bit, just to really kind of set the stage for you and your audience, and for people that are listening, if they're working out or running around, I know how busy we all are nowadays, especially in this fast-paced, high-performance landscape.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to get that snap, like, hey, wake up, I'm all about that, and really getting people to delve into it. Because sometimes we get bombarded with so many same things. We want to listen to it, but then we kind of check out. So to kind of really share with you, Alex, and your audience is just to go back and understand that my life experiences, I was a star athlete, a baseball player. I grew up around pro ball players. My dad was a semi-pro ball player in the 70s, had talent, could have been a pro. Realized at a very young age, he saw my arm and its capabilities and started to cultivate that and saw that I had potential to go somewhere with it. So I was put in those environments to really expand that talent. And I became a pitcher and I pitched for like 13 years. And I was being trained by the pros. I remember getting coached by the California Angels pitching staff and really kind of cultivating my arsenal as a pitcher and learning really how to get that game that you need to be at the top.
Wow.
But for me, in that environment, I was excited, but there was this external pressure and stress that was not allowing me to really feel my most optimal, if you will. Now, again, these are terms that I later understood, but at the time, I didn't. I didn't really grasp the concept of unresolved chronic stress, trauma, people not wanting to face their truth, and being in a family dynamic where that is exactly how I was raised, where everybody in my family didn't want to face their own truth. It started to break me and wear on me. So I didn't get to experience that excitement that I should have experienced as a star athlete. And I would say the perfectionism of my father and wanting me to focus only on that skill, doing what he expected of me, being told that I was supposed to conform and follow how life is versus creating the life that I want, didn't feel right. And I started to act out and break away from that dynamic. And I realized that the outside pressures, Alex, and I want your audience to hear this, the external pressure of dynamics impact us greater than we realize. And it didn't allow me to be my best in that moment. So what I did was I found myself intuitively seeking out more complex, dynamic, real world challenges, whether I was aware of it fully or not.
Yeah.
Where I, I started to meet, you know, professional bull riders in my environment, in where I went to school in Southern California. And I started getting introduced to people who were in that world, who were, you know, a little bit older than me. And it just pulled me in. It was like that, something wild's here, and I really want to go after it. And I remember it pissed my dad off. It was one of those things where it's like people were getting, they were mad. And I didn't care. I did it anyway. And I realized that that was where I started to feel more of me come alive. And that very first ride I had was about 2.5-3 seconds. I came out of the gate blowing and going hard. And that bull threw me on the ground, slipped in the mud. It was a cold, rainy Saturday in Lake Elsinore, California. I fell on my leg, pinned me underneath him. And when he looked at me, that brief second, that stare between me and that wild animal, man, it ignited this like fire inside me. And I realized there's so much more to who I am as a man that I was not getting to experience because of that incessant push for perfectionism over one specific skill set. That land and make sense. It's really
absolutely
push that we get from what people expect of us.
Yeah.
And that world ignited a new inner beast that I felt was there that nobody would cultivate and bring out in me. And my dad would not allow to be present. I was always suppressed and pushed back. So I lived a life in this world of what I wanted it to be, but my reality wasn't matching that world that I wanted to be in my head. So that world of bull riding really ignited that fire inside me. And then I realized as I rode bulls for 5 years it was like that. That is what it takes to really expand your capacity. You need a real world challenge, real uncomfortable situations to push you far beyond limits, because the limits that we create and that are put on us as well, we tend to think that we can get past them when we, you know, tiptoe our way towards something new or something different. But until you're really scared and really pushed into those most real world challenging situations, you really never stretch as far as you think you're going to stretch. So that, you know, intuitively ran its course. I realized that when I started to think about just like baseball, where do I really want to go? Do I want to be a pro athlete or do I want to go find something else? I knew in the same context of bull riding. That if I started to experience that split, where do I want to go? Do I want to be pro bull rider? Do I want to go that route? Or do I want to seek something else? I knew it was time for me to actually seek something else. I was aware of those moments. And that's when the military truly came knocking. And I decided that, you know, the best bet for me is to really go explore away from my family, get away from the stressed out dysfunctional dynamics that I was around, and put myself in these next level real world challenges, be with other men and women like me that really wanted to be the best. And I joined the United States Army. I wanted to jump out of airplanes, being a Ranger. And I ended up with the 101st Airborne Division as a combat infantry leader and really experienced a new birth of myself and my power and potential start to come alive. And those three tours overseas in combat ignited more of my understanding of why I experienced this incessant push of stress from everybody around me as a kid. I knew I was unique and different, but I didn't get it until that moment. When I was in Afghanistan, 01 and 02, right after September 11th, you know, the 101st is the most deployable army division in the world. And we were there. And I remember experiencing the understanding and grounding myself in that understanding of my own gift and realized, oh my, I have an ability here that really pushes people innately through their own limits in the most extreme of situations. I was able to lead my men. I was able to be in those combat moments and be calm in the midst of chaos and see the blind spots and how we were performing and where we needed to go. I intuitively felt direction versus trying to think and figure it out in my head. So it was more of an accelerated operational manner in which we were able to perform in combat in Afghanistan. And then, of course, as I took over the squad, the infantry mortar squad that I led, and we went to Iraq, it just became even more profound for me. And Alex, to kind of close that up, that laying the groundwork, if you will, those life experiences really stretched my capacity, like I said, and cultivated new level awareness and attentiveness that ignited who I really was at the core. And for me, I got turned on by that. And I realized we are so stuck in our head as a society. We are so afraid of our own truth. We are so afraid of the stresses and chaos that we experience in life that we tend to do what's typical is suppress them, overlook them, bypass them, or even do things like therapy and some coaching to really kind of create some space between it, but we never really resolve it. And I found out in combat, resolution is the only way for optimization, period. There is no chasing relief and circumventing or hacking your way to peak performance. You have to actually go through it. You have to be comfortable in the midst of chaos in the most uncomfortable situations, which is your own shit. Mm-hmm. And you have to do something about actual resolution so you can accelerate your capacity and become the most optimized version of you.
Yeah.
And then when you're operating from that standpoint, and I want people to hear this point, especially if you're in a leadership position, yeah, running companies. I've worked with bankers. I've worked with finance guys. I know that's kind of your niche, you know,
and yeah,
they're in the grind and the hustle of the quote excitement.
Yeah.
Making money and making moves and creating this ripple effect in their own way, but it's very linear and very limited.
Mm-hmm.
With a hedge fund, I had to get the private wealth team to understand that your performance is not linear models of growth. Your performance has everything to do with who you are at any given moment in your life. And the more optimized you become, the byproducts are more optimal results of more money, more impact, more peace and freedom as you perform in that job capacity. But we don't get that. We get this, especially in that finance world. Nope. I have to focus on one thing, bottom line. And if my performance isn't making money, then I'm nothing. And the stress ensues. And then they don't realize that, well, what experiences and what environments do I need to be in for this to actually outperform my last time, right? My last, as they say in the markets, is how do you outperform your results? So in closing, so to speak, is my life experiences cultivated who I am. It really helped me understand that I was brought into this world with a very specific gift that I cannot turn off. It's a fabric of my being. Mm-hmm. In the presence of high-powered people, I innately erupt whatever is under the surface that has not been resolved, that is in fact affecting and limiting their ability to be at the very top of their game. And I know they know that. I know who's listening to this knows.
Yeah.
It's still not fulfillment. I'm not at the top of where I really want to be. And then we get, but we feel that and think that, and then we go, okay, but I'm going to keep trying to go down the same route that I've been used to.
Mm.
And I'm just here to share that with people. Go, it's time to disrupt this paradigm of high performance, of leadership development, of what it actually means to hit your peak, sustain your peak, both personally, professionally, and realize, Alex, personal and professional performance are not mutually exclusive. They are intertwined, and how well you live your life, who you are, actually directly impacts your ability to operate. That's why I'm now doing what I do, build my business around that. Mm-hmm. And as I got out of the military, I started to seek out education for myself to expand my awareness, expand my thinking, expand my intuition, and understand more of the energetic side of me, more conscious. And I studied all of those aspects from neuroscience to psychology, alternative medicine. I practiced kung fu every single day. So I delved into holistic living and high performance lifestyle and realized leaders are missing this.
Yeah.
And the capacity that I have been able to cultivate, they can too, but they need an outside force that's different from what they're used to, that knows how to get into the nooks and crannies of where they actually aren't going to really accelerate them to the top of their game. And I'm telling you, the most optimized results are exponential growth and wealth, impact and bottom line, better, more healthier relationships. Your health transforms, your life just feels more fulfilled, and you can still be that badass that makes all that money and really moves the industry, but from a place of real peace and real freedom, not on the back of that stress you've been carrying your entire life.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's absolutely amazing. That's an extraordinary story, Wiley. There's a lot of stuff that, you've put forward in there, but I just wanted to sort of bring it back a little bit for some of our listeners who might be listening to that and thinking, wow, how can I actually get to that level? Because a lot of our people, your story included, who sort of tend to break through into success of some sort, it sort of tends to, originate from some sort of challenge that they experience in their life where, it's like the hero's journey where you discover something in you because something has happened and then you pick things up from there and develop what your superpower is in a way. For people who are listening, some may be struggling to actually find out what their superpower is or what is it that they can bring out in themselves to be able to break through into success. Do you think there is any particular moment or how can you sort of identify that, this is my destiny, this is my mission, this is an area that I'm actually, can excel in and I should pursue personal development or sort of optimize my performance in that particular area?
Yes, and I love the complexity of that question, and I want to make sure that I definitely touch on that. So what I want to lay out just very briefly, because I don't want to be long-winded with this, but what's really missing in our society, especially with people that have influence on community, on industry, et cetera, is understanding that we've gotten lost in thinking. Our minds are completely overworked, and we have so much to blame with that. I mean, technology is one of the biggest things. Technology has accelerated far beyond our evolution as human beings. Our minds cannot keep up with it. However, what happens is we try to accelerate just our thinking, and we disconnect from every other aspect of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with so many different types of high-powered men, especially, and they're like, intuition, like, what is this, woo-woo? And it's like, okay. But at the core, they're still engaged, is because who they are is heart-centered. Who they are is intuitive, but they have been so shut off and trained by the parameters that have been placed upon them in life, what we are used to, what we're bombarded with on TV, what we expect of others. Science proves everything, and anything outside that can't be proven by science is just BS. And it's lies that perpetuate this disconnect from who we are is why we end up always compensating instead of thriving. And I want to say that again. Compensation happens. People that are high achievers, that are looking to be at the top of their game in everything they do, always end up still feeling like they never get there. And then we chalk it up to this idea that life is a path of figuring it out. And I'm saying, actually, you can accelerate and get to the top of your game now. You can get access to all of your potential. You know how to tap into any given moment. Use it as a fuel source, as I like to say.
Yeah.
If you just know, like you asked, you said, what do they need to do to really bring that awareness to understand their own superpower? Well, first and foremost, it's be willing to embrace more than just what you think.
Yeah.
Truth, what you think is required of you and what you think needs to be done to get there. Here, I always talk about programs, processes, and systems that are offered, especially to high achievers. We get bombarded with, like, you know, this high level household name is offering a new program to really take leaders and high achievers to the next level and really make more money, impact, et cetera. And for me, I look at this as a problem, because what it does is you're providing the most simplified steps in everything when it comes to the complexities of a human being. So you're disconnected right there. We are complex, dynamic natured beings. We are not simplified organisms like a car, right?
Yeah.
So if you can understand that the steps, the programs, the processes, the strategies all have their place first and foremost, and you can accept and embrace that they are never going to really optimize you. They're only going to help you get down the road and create movement for you, which they do. Strategies help corporations and companies, Fortune 500 companies I've worked with. I've seen their strategies implemented and watched culture change because of that. However, I've watched the limitations also be birthed from the fact that they get stuck in that's the only way to operate. Yeah. So I would tell your audience, is to really be able to get outside of your own head and understand that what you think might be going on may in fact not be the truth. You can really give yourself permission to sit with that for a moment and allow more of that innate nature that you have, that intuitive side of you, to really kind of connect to what you actually should be doing or could be doing to discover more of your power, your potential, that superpower, like you asked, Alex. You'll find the answers and the solutions to where you need to go and what is required for you to get there to start to show up naturally around you. You don't feel like you're grinding to figure it out anymore. And it's a very hard concept, but it's all about looking at what it takes to be optimized and breaking free from the crutches of the quote helping industry that is designed to maintain the status quo of selling more and more and more as the only way to success. And I've talked to many people about this, Alex. So I'm like, hey, well, how come we don't have a following? Because I don't want a following. I'm not built. I'm not a guru. I'm not some tribesman. This limitation on compartmentalizing ourselves into these like groups and realize that they have their place. I will say that again.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, look, what matters is let's get away from this inane, incessant idea that money and popularity are the most important aspects of it.
Wow.
That's a key piece for your folks that are listening right now to actually grasp. Can you break away from chasing the byproducts? Because that's what money and popularity are. They're actually byproducts. They are not supposed to be the main focus. And you can revamp yourself and be willing to slow it down just enough so that you can actually become smoother in what you're doing and realize that when you yourself become optimized, when you face down any and everything that might in fact be an obstacle in your way, whether it's personal or professional or both, or you know, it's an intimate thing inside you, whatever it might be, and you can do something about that and pull in the right resources that know how to challenge you in the right environments, those very elements are a framework that actually accelerate someone of that caliber and that capacity towards those cool byproduct goals that they are looking to accomplish. Lost in this, I need a following, I need popularity. And ego gets built off that, right? Yeah. You make them more like, my shit doesn't stink, I'm good over here. You know what I mean? So I hope that really helps give a little bit more awareness to really what it actually takes to start moving in a different direction towards optimization. Realizing that if you're stuck in your head, you're never going to actually access more of your ability to solve and redirect yourself. You're going to get stuck in limitation because there's so much more dynamic flowing around the step, the system, the thinking. Thinking itself is a servant. Your intuitive mind is the gift. We just reward the servant and we completely disregard the gift. The servant is limited. It's designed there to help keep us on track for direction. It's not designed to actually lead us. But our leaders, they get lost in that.
Yeah.
They know everything. It's like, well, okay. If you do, let's see what you got.
Yeah. That's very profound, Wiley. Thank you for sharing that. Because in most cases, I mean, people, you know, it's like this shiny penny, you know, syndrome. Might be, you know, we are looking at other people who have broken into success of something. You know, I could be looking at Wiley. Oh, wow, look at what Wiley has done. I should be doing the same, you know, because, you know, that's in a way, you know, my definition of what success is, because, you know, it's working well for Wiley. But when you actually get into that, you get lost in, like you say, the actual you, because you're not really looking into what is it that is you, because every person is unique, different, and the superpowers will be different in terms of what people can achieve. But then what sometimes people will find that if they start chasing that because they are following someone, they find maybe, you know, it's difficult to actually be there. Then they develop these limiting beliefs, like you mentioned, that, oh, maybe, you know, it's not for me, I can't do that. And that's where, you know, that impact of personal and professional fears, which is, you know, one of the key areas you probably talk about as well, how we can actually step outside of that, the fears that maybe, you know, I'm not good enough, or I can't achieve that. It's only, you know, assigned to a certain kind of people and I'm not one of them. How can people start to eliminate that impact of, you know, personal professional fears that in a way hold them back?
Great question. And I definitely want to lay out a few points that came up for me when you were sharing all that.
Yeah.
First and foremost, what I discovered, and I'm just going to say this quickly, what I discovered in the middle of war was that there are only two actual types of stress that we live with. And I want to make this abundantly clear.
Yeah.
So important that we evolve our ability to understand what stress is and how it in fact limits us and impacts our performance. Whether we're starting out as a business entrepreneur or we're a leader of sorts, public figure, athletes, et cetera, because I've worked with all different types of high achievers. Labels really don't matter. Are you the type of person that wants it? Let's get after it. So I will say this. What I discovered is there are two types of stress, Alex. It's, and I want to land this really quickly for people and just pay attention if you're listening, because I call them acute and chronic stress. Simplified terms that we hear in the medical community, but I utilize them for a purpose. Acute stress are the things that we call that keep happening to us. They're the reoccurring life experiences that show up around us that seem similar. I'm sure it's like you've heard people go on, why do I keep attracting the same type of partner? Yeah. What is going on? And they never really understand and realize that, let me look at the dynamics that I grew up with that I have not resolved. That's making me attract in. And why I know that to be true is because the chronic stresses that I discovered are those life experiences I talked about, that I felt that I had in my life, from the addictions and pain and suffering, right? From immigrant grandparents coming over from Scotland and the stoic nature of that. And nobody really addressed it. It was just to suppress it, overlook it. Especially men, we're told to suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah.
Suck it up and go get over it already, stress, that chronic stress. And I have a video that I threw on my LinkedIn page as well. It's 2 minutes long. And it kind of goes over that. It's a little whiteboard video that I talk about those acute chronic stresses. But what I want to say here is when you have acute stresses in your life, this is what we live with.
Hmm.
That reoccurring stresses that keep happening to you, you have to understand that's because they are tied to those unresolved chronic stresses that you have not faced head on and eradicated. I'm going to say that again. You have not eradicated them, which is why you feel the way you feel, no matter how much you grind, how much you accumulate, how much you accomplish, no matter how much quote success you feel you've attained, there's always in the back of your mind, something's still missing. Why do I still feel unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and needing more? Why am I still trying to get more? Why do I need to scale my business? Why do I need to keep going after this? There's so much more to it than that. We are lost in this world of stress. I see articles from Harvard Business Review that I read and Forbes and Fortune and Inc. and all of these publications that I follow. And then I've talked to some journalists that work there. And it's the same. They're trying to compartmentalize the understanding of these things. I saw the other day stress and how it impacts your leadership. Well, do you understand what stress really is? Because there's going to be, quote, normal, healthy stress being a leader, being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, doctor, lawyer, et cetera, banker, whatever it is, CPA. You're going to have those normal parts because when you're operating in this really fast-paced environment and you're just this, you're working really high performance, moving out with a purpose, you're going to experience these normal feelings of like, whoo, that's going on over here. I got to handle this. I got to schedule. But when you are resolved at the core, those stresses you experience actually don't negatively impact you and they hold you back. They give you a clear path every single moment of every day. So you know how to make the best decisions. You know how to take the right risks. You welcome in the right support. You're not afraid of something that challenges you. You don't push away something that seems a little different than what you're used to. You embrace what I call embrace the suck. And the military will tell you that if you can embrace the suck instead of sucking it up, you'll see that your life transforms. So when I go back to what you said, is understanding those chronic stresses first and foremost and resolving them. And if just to make sure I land this point, can you just reiterate that last part you even asked me? Because I want to make sure that we tie this together. Would you mind doing that for me?
Yeah. So just looking at, you know, how people can, you know, reduce that impact of personal, professional fears.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So first and foremost, understanding the two types of stress and then realize that the only way you're going to resolve or eradicate those personal, professional fears is if you're willing to face what has stimulated or caused them in the first place.
Yeah.
Because they come from life's experiences, again, that do in fact create what I call undetectable patterns of doubt, fear, and cautiousness that are unconscious to us. We might think we know what's going on, but even the most powerful people still have those undetectable patterns. And what I'm able to see and what I'm able to do when I work with my leaders is it's in an intimate relationship with them. So I'm part of their life for a specific container period of time, a framework, if you will, that I lay out. I put them in the environments of that relationship where I can experience their life with them. And I'm able to see through their actions, through the results that they create, through their behaviors, what's going on in their dynamics, what's actually plaguing them, what still has not been, I would say, optimized. And then through those intense interpersonal challenges that I know how to provide them in those environments, that really erupt it and eradicate it permanently so that the result is just an accelerated level of performance. You just feel the slingshot that happens. And if you want to get through your personal and professional fears, you have to be willing to embrace the fact that there is something you have not addressed in your life. And you need to step towards resources that actually can challenge you the right way that matches your capacity or where you're at to perform, instead of you getting lost in the mundane nature of hiring another coach for the next year and wasting a ton of time and money and never really feeling like you're getting anywhere. I met a tech guy in San Diego, a tech, I guess. So for a gas company, has 2,000 employees under him. And I remember him telling me, he's like, look, I've spent $50,000 per quarter per coach. I think I have five coaches on my staff that my people rotate through. And I'm saying, you're dropping $250,000 a quarter and you're spending $1 million a year just in these coaches. And he goes, and my guys, when they come in, they say, I feel like I'm sitting next to a babysitter. These people don't even know really how to push me. And I feel like we're kind of just spinning our wheels here. And he's like, I don't know what to do about that. And that's the problem that I think most corporations face, most companies, is they bring in notoriety and think that the notoriety or the name is what's going to really move their people into even more higher performance. And it might create some change for them. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't have to keep reoccurring that situation. Mm-hmm. Hiring more coaches every year in and year out and spending millions of dollars on your books when you can just basically look at the fact that, where's my leader at? Where's my manager at? Are they living optimally? Are they unfucked? Or are they showing up the right way so that their people can be motivated to really rise and take their performance up to another level, and then bring in the resources that can push those people even further. But we get lost, again, going back to that, in thinking we can overlook our fears, and we can circumvent them, and we can hack our way or strategize our way to another level. And that's why we never actually get to where we want to go.
Yeah.
I hope that helps answer the question, brother.
Absolutely. Thanks, Riley. Definitely. Yeah, now, I want to come back to how, leaders or business people can actually sustain, peak performance. But before we get there, I just wanted to cover, because, sometimes people get into a situation of overwhelm, because just you covered before, there's just a lot of stuff going on out there in the world, a lot of information, a lot of, competition and things. And there's all these pressures, which, like you said, will create this stress or burnout for people. And sometimes people can find themselves in a situation whereby it's actually paralyzing them, or they just come to a freeze and they can't see, the wood in the forest or beyond a certain thing. So how can people sort of get rid of this overwhelm or paralysis, or, being able, that lack of clarity of direction, because they've just come into, just lots of things happening in the world?
Yeah. Again, I'm going to go back to your last question, because I think this will tie into this. What ends up happening is, it's what I call the learning copy method. So I know you remember that. We all remember this.
Yeah.
As children, when we're growing up as children from 0 to 6, we have to mimic our environments and mimic our parents and the people around us to learn behaviors, to learn movement and how to actually approach life, until eventually we get to an age where we start to evolve and then develop our own personalities. Now, when you don't have an optimized environment at the moment you're growing up, right? Yeah. It just distorts your ability to learn and copy and then develop your own personality from a balanced place. And we have an incessant generational problem with that. That's why our society is broken the way it is right now. And it's broken, period. And our leaders aren't doing anything the right to actually fix it. And they're trying to just add more in and think that that's going to fix the problem. So I'm going to say this. It's the learning copy method. Like you said earlier, Alex, is I'm going to copy that guy's success. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mimic what they're doing. I'm going to follow this specific influencer, big named person in personal development and info marketing, et cetera. This is, look at what they've accomplished. And they're fast talking, sometimes narcissistic, and they have these high powered movements, and they have just a bunch of energy, and they're spitting at you, and you get excited and you get high on that excitement and that energy that they're transferring to you. And I call it transference.
Yeah.
They sell you on this bastardized marketing term, transformation. And that transformational word is utilized to get people to buy into stuff. And people go, this guy's going to transform my life, I'm going to buy into it. And it's a learning copy method. And I have a paper, if people want to actually read a more academic style paper, I wrote. I spent 3 months writing this paper with all my philosophy and my notes over my years of experience working with high-powered leaders. Mm-hmm. It's on my website, timetoerupt.com. We'll direct them right to WileyMcGraw.com. And at the bottom of the homepage, it's called Helping Versus Optimizing. Why leaders are wasting their life chasing peak performance instead of mastering it. When you can read that paper, it's not that long of a read, and it describes in one of the sections, the learning copy method is where people get lost in that compartmentalized thinking. They want to try to be like that other person. That's what's going to take. I'm going to follow their surefire blueprint for success, their steps and systems, et cetera. And I've met these people that provide those out for the public, even leaders. And when you pull the curtain back, their lives are a complete mess. They have not really addressed. They've made a ton of money. They made a ton of notoriety. And then the rest of their life is in chaos. And that's why they bring me in, is to optimize that so that they can exponentially create better impact for the people that follow them. So if you're going to do that, look at the leader, look at the person you're looking up to, and really delve into whether or not, is this somebody I want to emulate? Mm. And then go from there. But what happens is, when you're in this process of learn and copy, I'll just use that term for our conversational piece here. Mm. That's what causes you to burn out. Expectations that are put on you, that you put on yourself, you're trying to hold on to standards from a very stressed out place of operating, and your standards you never actually get to meet because of the demand placed upon you by all of those around you, or those that you lead or that are leading you.
Yeah.
And that causes this frustration and this disconnect, and people end up burning out and they don't know what to do about it. So they seek out ways to find relief, right? We have a whole industry that's built on providing people relief: alcohol, cigarettes, sex, even yoga. I've seen people addicted to yoga, to meditation, right? Mm-hmm. Those are really good tools, but people get addicted because it's fulfilling a void that gives them relief because they don't know how to manage the internal volatility they feel inside and the expectation placed upon them. And what happens is we develop this personality trait that causes rigidity, and that rigidity creates burnout.
Mm.
And then we crumble, and then we try to reinvent ourselves. And what I'm saying right now is you need to look at your life and optimize who you are first. And now it doesn't mean you have to stop what you're doing.
Mm.
Right? You do that as you move.
Yeah.
I'll use a term, Alex, to land this point. In the military, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Say that again. Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. And what results from being that way, fast becomes lethal. And what I mean by lethal is your performance accelerates, your results grow, your life transforms, you feel more fulfilled. When you can slow down and understand and stop rushing to get somewhere, and realize that if you're rushing to get somewhere, if you're rushing because you think you have to make decisions, you have to move the company, you have to make more money, you're going to burn out. You're going to crash. Mm-hmm. You're going to seek out those resources that bring you relief, and never going to live as the most optimized you. And you're always going to feel a sense of struggle inside. So I would say, if you're experiencing burnout, if you're experiencing that level of like stress that comes from that burnout, then pay attention to what's actually going on in your life.
Yeah.
What kind of dynamics are you involved in? What kind of relationships do you have? Are you not looking at something? And give your ego a break for a minute. It's hard for leaders, man, especially set their egos down. You know what I mean? Like, I had to like sit this director down at this hedge fund, and I basically almost, you know, I would say metaphorically slapped him in the face, even though sometimes you know it might be necessary to shake him out of his rigid mindset that he's responsible for all the chaos. You are responsible for yours. You don't optimize that, you will be responsible for the team's dysfunction. And then we can focus on the team themselves as well. And that's why they went from being in the red and we're on the verge of potentially losing their jobs to being in the black next quarter, because we got to the core of what's really affecting their team's function. Why are they burned out? Why are they looking at the outside world volatility of the markets as the only way they measure performance, and shift that mindset? Optimize who they are at the core, get them into a better level of performance together as a team. Realize they're not islands, despite what they might have been taught in school. And realize that when you can face down those stresses, you'll watch the aspect of what you're doing become even more in the flow.
Brilliant. So essentially, from what you're saying, then, you know, if we are looking to find out the inner person, like who we are, so essentially we need to have the mindset to be able to embrace that, you know, we could be operating in an environment whereby we are doing things that are very different to what somebody else is doing. So part of the psychology about it, where people don't actually tend to go that way, is that you know, whether it's a fear of being ridiculed or to look different to everyone else, because whatever the environment is doing, it's like, oh, maybe that's the in thing. But if I have a different mindset, a different way of thinking and doing, if I pursue that, I think, you know, I'm just recalling in Viktor Frankl's, you know, Man's Search for Meaning, where he's talking about, you know, his mindset and power, that it doesn't get moved with, you know, what people are thinking or doing, because it's the one thing that people can take away from us. But we operate in an environment, whether there's other people, there's external factors as well, and we want to blend in a way. We don't want to be ridiculed or, you know, to look stupid or something. But by avoiding those kind of things, if we don't have the right mindset, we could, like you said, not being ourselves. So how can we?
Well, yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say. You're right. What ends up happening is it's a sense of self-worth, a sense of internal confidence.
Yeah.
Like I'll give you an example. I know a woman who's very powerful, very a personality, but very balanced, very loving and caring. And I remember someone said, she's too assertive. And I said, too assertive? Why do you punish people that are assertive?
Yeah.
And misinterpret it as maybe aggressive.
Yeah.
Why that someone can be confident and trustworthy, and we take them as potentially a threat or some form of like fraud?
Yeah,
because the collective dynamic has been fooled into believing that if it doesn't look the same, it doesn't think the same, something's wrong with it.
Yeah,
I tell you, it's my business and what I do, how I show up. At the timing that these leaders need me to show up, when I'm introduced to them, it's because they're ready to be optimized. Now, I don't show up the same way. I'm never going to, and I'm okay with that. And your people and everybody that's listening, anybody and everybody that just wants to have the most fulfilling life should really embrace this. Is stop allowing yourself to get caught up in the idea that we need to somewhat conform ourselves into society, into the companies we're in, into what we're doing out in the world, because that is in fact where you're going to finally feel yourself stuck and limited and never really get to feel that sense of longing, peace, freedom, comfort, success. And for me, success means your life is optimized. It doesn't mean you've made $100 million. And it's like, I've been around people that have 9-figure bank accounts and they've got the name, but they are so miserable. And I'm like, why do you not want to live a better life? Why do you not want to see what you're actually capable of? Well, can you imagine who Elon Musk would be if you actually deal with all this childhood issues that he's never really actually resolved? I know he has. I've been around people that know him personally. We'd probably be on Mars, Saturn, we might be in another galaxy. This guy's genius, right?
Yeah.
He's operating from where he is, and look what he's creating from a place of compensation. Now imagine other leaders listening to this going, damn, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I need to go and embrace something that's so radical and different.
Yeah.
That, hell, if I'm taking risks in the market, why wouldn't I take a risk with some new thing that shows up that makes me feel very uncomfortable? Maybe I need to realize that if that thing's making me feel uncomfortable, what is it that I'm still carrying around inside me that's coming up that I need to look at instead of always externalizing and saying, I got to get rid of that. And a lot of leaders will do that. They don't like, they like control the resources they hire. I know I could be on 100 podcasts. And I know I can be in front of millions of people listening. And I'm telling you, one or two people might have the balls to pick up the phone and call me. Those, and if you want to do it right,
this
is where you do it right, is getting into an atmosphere and an environment to become optimized.
Yeah.
You do it right first and realize that every aspect of you is already built to create exponential wealth, to move industries, to move communities, to move people you lead, to inspire a new generation of youth, to get them away from, you know, getting stuck in their technology and feeling very sad and depressed all the time, and realize that that is a unfortunate byproduct of what our leadership is doing.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to ever have what it is you say you want is when you actually can eradicate all your unresolved chronic stress. There's just no other way.
Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. Because you've only got to look at, you know, If you take situations and interpretations of people personally, that's where you get into an issue. Because most of the times when people are putting up, whether it's any negative connotations or any particular situation, it's a reflection of the perception of the situation according to them, isn't it? You know, and any given situation, different people can look at it differently in a way. So if you waste your energy and time worrying about what someone is thinking or that, then 5 or 6 different people are thinking differently, then you're just wasting your energy.
I've seen people in positions of leadership and influence give their power away. They don't realize they're doing it. They're doing so much more than they think.
Yeah.
So I'm good. Look what's going on around you. I worked with a public figure, and he's such an interesting case because I use that word lightly because it's not a case. These are relationships. These are people that I've met and connected to. And I optimize their life. I accelerate them and I get the hell out of their way. And then when I move on to do more with other people that want it. But this guy was introduced to me a named influencer, and he's been doing what he's done for 30 years, but he never understood why he felt burned out, completely just like fried is what he would say. And why, I mean, making millions of dollars, eight-figure businesses, you know, making tons of money on his online platform, working with some of the biggest names in the world from all different industries, from music to, you know, personal development to et cetera. I mean, science, technology, Silicon Valley. Yet he's experiencing his health deteriorating, his relationship suffering, his child feels like doesn't have that relationship he wants. And he always feels like his money is never really just sustaining. It's just, he comes in and it goes out. Why does that happen? And he's trying to just add more into his life and try to figure that out. And if you hear yourself in this, I want you to pay attention to this and realize it's because you actually have never done enough removal. It's all about, people are stuck in this idea, I'm going to just add more. We're not, it's like eating too much and never being able to go to the bathroom. You just get backed up, your organs start to fail, your body starts to deteriorate, and then you suffer. Yeah. But then what you do is your mind overrides that, and then you just go add more.
Yeah.
Like what you said earlier, Alex, is you have to have the right mindset to step into an unknown, known world. If you are afraid to step into the wild unknown, never going to get to the level you want to be operating at. And I implore leaders to listen and go, why wouldn't you not want that? Why wouldn't you step towards something that might be temporarily so uncomfortable, but it's the most rewarding, fulfilling, freeing thing you'll ever experience? Why not be willing to jump into the unknown more, I would say, confidently?
Yeah.
Right? Here's the thing. I stepped into those worlds as a bull rider and as a combat vet, and then kept doing that to become more of a master of my life. I wanted that self-mastery because I realized if I have a standard of how I want to show up in the world, I have to be the standard. I have to live that standard. I'm not going to go out in the world and bullshit people and sell them on an idea or a concept. I'm going to show them it's possible to live this way, right? And I'm a small business, and I've been able to identify and understand what it really takes to become optimized. So that's the same aspect when you go back to what we were just talking about, is it's getting away from the limited mindset, but having the mindset to really embrace the unknown, creating from white space and ambiguity, if you will, instead of trying to create from those stressful life experiences that fuel your desires and passions. Get away from my trauma as a child is what made me do what I well, you know what? That's still limiting you. And you know what it's going to do? It's actually going to infect your employees, your staff, your customers, the people that follow you. They're going to embrace and take on some of your successes, but they're also going to take on your limitations too, whether you're aware of it or not. Energetically, consider this. When you walk into a room, I know you've done this too, Alex. We all have. You're kind of like, oh, I don't like that person's vibe, right? Something feels off with that person. Yeah. Okay, that's the language of energetics. So if you can embrace that feels off and you're not willing to engage with that because you might feel something off, look at the environment you're in and consider the context in which you're actually in that environment when something makes you feel that way. Be able to discern. Let me say that word one more time. Discern if that person that makes you feel that vibe is somebody that's just randomly there that might just have been brought into the party or the conference or wherever you're at in the meeting that just kind of like you can tell. You're like, I don't know. Something's off there. Or is the environment that you're experiencing that and with somebody that showed up into your life that's been introduced to you that has done all of this other amazing work with other people sitting in front of you and you're going, oh, I don't like the way this feels, and realize, okay, let me discern the fact that this person did all that. Why am I trying to make this out to be a situation that's uncomfortable that I don't want to break? Why don't I just go, let me see what's here. Even if you don't end up working with that people, there's so much gold in being able to see that discomfort and just taking maybe what information might be showing up for you.
Yeah.
Swept up in this fast paced world, high performance landscape. And we can keep missing out on so many amazing opportunities, even when it comes to dynamics we might not have long-term relationships with. There's so much beauty and gold and information for your performance within your own emotions, within the relationships you might find uncomfortable. And I keep pushing back on that, is like, if you really want to take it to another level, you've got to embrace that unknown and step into it fearlessly and realize that you're going to expand your capacity, and God, you're going to create so much more because you already built to create so much more.
Mm,
hey, what I'm doing is good enough. Well, you're suffering. Why don't you imagine what life would be like if you weren't suffering and see what you're able to create? If you want another $100 million, you can do it.
You can do it. Yeah.
Possible. We got to go after those things that are actually hindering you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Let's take that, sure. You know, we've figured all this out and we, you know, have managed to find our mission and we are operating at this, you know, peak performance. Now,
yes.
Everything is energies. And at a given particular moment, we are always ebbing and flowing into, you know, different situations, maybe ups and downs. What do you think are the ways to actually, you know, sustain peak performance, that we are operating at that peak performance level?
And I use that word very emphatically because it's it's grounded for people when they hear that. You have to unfuck your life, Alex. Yeah. You have to go into those depths and allow yourself the moment to face those truths so they can be eradicated, because those are the things that are actually hindering your performance. No matter how much you try to buy into other things that you can add into your business, add into your leadership, I'm going to stop trying to control every little nuanced thing that's in your life. Surrender doesn't mean give up. It means releasing. It's like even in the martial arts that I practice, understanding that one of the philosophies in Kung Fu is being able to allow the attack to happen and trust that the right response will present itself. That's very hard for us because they're so quick to resist and it's something's attacking me. I got to fight it back. And you realize that there's a reason why Chinese martial arts, why they have all figured it out, is because they've been able to witness, study, understand, and intuitively connect to nature and animal and how they live in the flow, how they move like water, how they move with nature themselves. There's no rigidity out there that gets stuck in this like one way of operating. They're so flexible. And when you can get into that space, you'll find there's so much more of your power and potential that can be unleashed.
Yeah.
People are so, I got to push up against it. People sometimes allow things to come at you and realize that the right responses will present themselves. So peak performance, going to answer that question, starts with your ability to be able to surrender and optimize your life. Performance itself is not a measure of quantifiable linear growth, despite how much, especially in the financial world, right? It's always like your performance this quarter was how much money you put in the bottom line. Great. That's only a fraction of performance. Performance itself, consider that word, is who you are in relationship to yourself at any given moment in your life. You are what performs. You are what creates the results. Why are we looking outside of that, thinking that these more tangible things that we can grip our minds around or our hands on, et cetera, are the only true measure of performance? Therefore, that's the only true measure of success. Why do we look at money as the ultimate goal for success? You can have all the money in the world and still be a complete screw up.
Yeah.
Why do you want that to be your legacy? Seriously. So I have found, in order to sustain peak performance, both personally and professionally, it's all about optimization. It's all about breaking away from the crutches of that limiting belief that you have around what it takes to actually grow, be your best, and step into the unknown world of a framework that is built to really get you to eradicate anything and everything that might be holding you back, that might be creating those blind spots. You can get to that place of embracing that level of discomfort. It's only temporary, but it's going to slingshot you and accelerate you to the top of your game. And then when you get to that place, you've eradicated, faced all your truth, and you feel the most optimized you've ever felt. I'm telling you, you will never, ever need to go seek out more resources to do more for you, that you will have access to your potential. You really will. You'll know who you are at the core. You'll know where your true power is actually derived from. You'll always feel in complete integrity of your standards and how you show up in the world. Nothing will be able to knock you off. Your management of inner volatility will become optimized. Your experiences around you will not be something that actually hinders you or holds you back. You'll experience that level of just, it's almost like euphoria.
Yeah.
You're not going to have normal speed bumps as you perform and keep doing what you're doing. It doesn't mean the normal stresses like we talked about earlier, but they won't hurt you or hold you back.
Yeah.
And you'll find that the things that don't matter in your life will naturally slough off. Mm. And everything else that does will just continue to amplify and grow.
Yeah.
Peak performance itself is a state of being, period. And I will argue that to my death, period. The state of being. It is not task that you can get done and checking boxes off or bottom lines that you've created. It's who you are.
Mm.
That's where peak performance really resides. Mm-hmm. When you can get to that place, you can sustain it.
Mm. Amazing. Is there any other sort of ugly truth that leaders keep locked up that we haven't covered?
That's a man out. Can you say that again? Is there any any ugly truth?
Leaders, you know, keep locked up that you know, our listeners would want to find out and know.
Brother, I tell you, I love that you asked that because it is so. Our leaders, look what's going on in our culture in general. From no matter what country you're in right now.
Mm.
Actually have, especially in the United States, for goodness sakes, the fracturing in the UK and the United States is because our leaders are dysfunctional. They are not optimal.
Mm.
I say it constantly to people that I have these great conversations with anybody and everybody. I love delving into these challenging insights. Is an unresolved leader distorts the world, which is what's happening right now.
Mm.
An optimized leader transforms it. So we look at what's going on around us. Why do you think we have chaos? It is complex. We can dig into any philosophy. You can dig into understand. There's so many different layers to how we operate in a society. But understanding that to have a healthy, balanced society needs to have specific limitations in certain places that are proper.
Yeah.
On who you are, but on specific aspects of how far we can go with our freedoms and rights, where we actually need to create boundaries and standards. Because what's happening here is we're watching a faction of people trying to destroy boundaries and limits that are actually necessary for a free, happy society. And our leaders are allowing them to do it because they themselves will not embrace the truth about themselves. They are afraid of what the voters might think. They are afraid of what their constituents, they're afraid of what their employees and staff, they are afraid to stand regardless of what happens to them. And that's because they themselves are unresolved. They've never actually looked at their own shit. And so what you ask is the ugly truth. The ugly truth that they're hiding is the fact that they are broken inside, their egos are inflated. They are addicted to power. They are addicted to the money. They are addicted to being the person who can pull the levers and the strings. And they don't connect with other human beings in the way that they want to be connected with. So there's this massive dysfunctional desire to have something that they are unwilling to give. And then they go out and legislate everything into what they think is right. They believe in their mind. They know the truth. And what's happening is, look at the byproducts around you. If things are falling apart around you, you are not living from an optimized place. Your truth that you might have in your head is actually not truth. It's a made-up idea or a concept that your ego has proven to you over and over again in your thinking. And thinking is limited. Our thoughts only point or help direct us towards the truth. They are not truth themselves. But we have so many people in positions of power that are just doubling down on that level of function, and they're compensating for the pain they feel inside and all of their quirks and all of their addictions and all of their problems. Those are the biggest things. Is the ugly truths they're hiding are their addictions and their compensation of them. And they're willing to face it. And when you try to poke them and say, "Hey man, look, you have to look," and then they push it away because it's going to challenge what they've built.
Mm.
And only a real leader can step towards that most uncomfortable truth that they have not looked at. That's where you can tell a real leader from one that's just acting like a title doesn't make you a leader. Being a leader doesn't require one. And you really need to understand that all the ugly truths are going to create the byproducts of dysfunction that we experience right now in our society. So I hope that answers that question, because look what's going on around you.
Yeah.
If bombs are going off, clearly there's something wrong with you, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But then how do you balance it with some sort of resistance? Because if you're a leader, mm-hmm. and you are set into your your mission and it makes sense, yes. to you, but in order for you to actually action it and make an impact, decisions have to be made by another body, like a lot of people. And if there's a lot of resistance, you might end up not having an impact. I think this probably happened in, like, Obama's era, where maybe he's trying to enact some sort of legislation or whatever, but because he doesn't control the Congress or something, then he's like deadlocked and he can't do anything. You know, how can leaders manage that conflict that's stopping them from being authentic and pursuing those ideas?
Man, I have some folks that I'm talking to, they're really desperate and they're asking, you know, if I'm willing to get into politics, because honestly, I need to infiltrate that circle, so to speak, because there are certain people in there that have influence and power that are looking for optimization. They just don't have the access to the resource because nobody's offering these environments. It's in the same kind of coaching or advising, etc. It's like, look, we got to break away from that. And this is such a complex paradigm.
Yeah.
And we're not going to completely turn it on its head in the next, year. It's not like it's going to happen. You know, I may come in and do some work with some people and I know that I'm not going to suddenly, oh my gosh, everything's turned on its head. It's different now. However, think about the types of people that are being put into office and then considering how they are utilizing their own personal views of something to battle legislation, battle decisions, instead of understanding what is best in balance for everyone to be lifted up, right? One side trying to push their views and beliefs to get things going, and it's another side trying to combat theirs to get it going, and everybody thinks that they know what's best, and nobody's actually doing what's best. People want to be right. They're not doing what's right. So conflict is necessary, but discernment of what type of conflict, that is the root that should be anchored in when it comes to you having those types of confrontations. In the work that I do, it is in confrontation that I accelerate a leader. It is in confrontation with me in that relationship. They can feel the level of love, the level of trust, the rapport, and my desire to get them to the top of their game. I don't care about their comfort in the moment. I care about their freedom. So if you are a leader and you're in confrontation with another side that's trying to, it's about bringing together the discernment of the right type of confrontation for the outcome you both want for the industry that you're trying to transform.
Yeah.
But we are not doing that. It's just this battle of factions. It's my tribe versus your tribe. And we're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
Leaders are unwilling they don't know how to have good fights. And one of the things I learned a long time ago, being ex-military, I grew up in this like Scottish Irish household. You know, my mother's mostly Native American, but we grew up around the idea of boxing, and we used to throw gloves on as kids at parties. And so it's kind of funky if you think about it. I learned this a long time ago, especially then becoming a combat infantry leader and going to war and getting out and being in specific types of like maybe altercations or whatever it might be, is that you only really know someone when you fight them. Doesn't mean go out and punch them in the face. Every once in a while, somebody deserves to get hit upside the head with a chair. I laugh at that all the time. But here's the thing. Confrontation is not unhealthy. It's understanding and discerning what type of confrontation. How are you approaching that confrontation? And is it necessary to have that confrontation? So when you fight someone in that way, you really get to see who they are. When they are in the heightened state of emotion, when they're in the heightened state of combat, so to speak, like our society has been turned into this almost combat-like zone, you see the truth of someone. And that's why in my work, and I want folks that are listening to this and leaders that are out there going, this guy sounds interesting. Let me lean into it. If you feel something, let's have a conversation, because what matters here, Alex, like you and I are having, is in that heightened state of confrontation that we have, that people should have, you'll see the truth, period.
Wow.
Period. People cannot hide their truth when they're in that confrontation. And when you fight them, you get the real them. And that is where I can access your power, your potential, and get rid of and eradicate those blind spots, those stresses, et cetera. And that is where we can actually get you to accelerate, but we don't have that level of trust and vulnerability. Hmm. And people are trying to put up walls. And when they fight, they only fight from a superficial level, and then we never get to the depth. And that's why we have our leaders, like you said, how do we deal with this conflict and this balance way is because you don't have people knowing how to battle each other or have that confrontation. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have it. We're human beings. We're a weird species on this planet. We're trying to figure out how to have a free society. And it's an experiment. And we have to understand, who are we? And are we willing to do what's right versus trying to just be right? And in conflict and confront each other, what is the outcome we're looking to actually accomplish when we have that confrontation? When you battle, you get to see the truth of someone. So when you see a politician being pushed and their reactions are to name call, right, put people down, we have a vast swath of our population over here in America, especially, is they believe that to be strength. They believe that when you hear someone being name called, it's like, yeah, that's a top, get them.
Yeah.
That's like a low vibration of conflict energy.
Yeah.
These politicians doing that, and what they're, people that are sophisticated enough to see the truth, they're going, I see that this person's just really insecure at the core. They're unresolved. They're broken. They're damaged. Their mind is broken. We have a lot of narcissism going on because that's a self-loathing personality. And we have people that embrace that, and we have people that see the truth. And everybody's going, Well, I'm right. It's like, well, it's not about being right.
Yeah.
Why can you realize is, why do you find value in someone who interacts with others when they have conflict with them that way? Stop and go, wait a minute, how am I reacting to stress? How am I interacting with people that push me? How am I interacting with my staff or my employees or my executive staff that challenge my decision making or my leader? Am I able to embrace that, or do I push back and I make them wrong? Do I call them names, or I punish them, etc.? And these are the awarenesses I want people that are listening to pay attention to when they are doing work, when they're into the world and wanting to create more impact. Is starting to slow yourself down just enough to go, wait a minute, how am I approaching conflict? How am I approaching confrontation? Do I react or do I respond? Am I allowing certain things to come so I can get the right solutions, or am I just trying to be right?
Yeah.
Does it help?
Absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely profound. I mean, Wiley, you've got a very amazing different level of consciousness around these things. It's been really...
I appreciate that, Alex. What I love about you too is, man, because you, first of all, your smile is contagious. Second of all, you're able to roll with it, and you actually are hearing what I'm saying, and then you're able to ask good questions that really bring it forward. Because what matters is that I'm sitting here making sure that people feel a new level of challenge for themselves.
Yeah.
I talk about my story all day long, but what I really like talking about is what you brought to the table. Is like, look, what is it actually going to take for me to really expand my awareness and expand my capacity? Yeah. And that's where we were able to go, which I really thought was fantastic. I can talk about it all day long.
Absolutely. So as we sort of draw to a close, maybe just talk us through, the key aspects around health and awareness and just living life on our terms.
How you? I want to make sure I got that question. How we develop awareness to live life?
Yeah. So the key aspects and the importance of health and awareness, in enabling us to actually live life on our terms. Once we attain all these different levels of consciousness, and we can start to live life in accordance to our values.
Right. Well, health should be a priority for everyone. It's almost like the simplest of ideas, but it seems like the hardest thing for people to grasp. I want to be a billionaire, so I'm going to sacrifice my health and my relationships to get there. And I go, you know what? And I have a specific article or blog on my site as well that I talk about this. And it's this idea that sacrifice is necessary for success. Well, what type of sacrifice? What suffering are you willing to go through to succeed? There's unhealthy suffering and sacrifice, and there's healthy suffering and sacrifice.
Yeah.
Understanding, again, discerning when and where and how to utilize those innate components of growing. But awareness comes from an ability to understand that your thinking is not absolute. And it's kind of like, I'm a skydiver. So I love skydiving. And I say it all the time is, the mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. And when you have this idea that you have figured it all out, you're probably nowhere near where you think you are. Real leaders, have that ability to stay open and to be challenged and to be pushed. And they have, you know, from people that they, that might be quote beneath them, so to speak, realizes like you, a real leader that wants to take it to the next level is willing to bring someone into their life to look at the ugly corners that they have not looked at. Doesn't matter what their name is. Doesn't matter what their background is. What matters is, do they get the result and do they optimize me? So awareness comes from that ability to realize your mind is supposed to evolve. It's supposed to expand. It's why it's gray matter, white matter. It's supposed to just build new neural pathways and create more new memories and new experiences. It's not designed to be concrete. And we get ripped around this idea that I know something. So, well, then that's it. And anybody challenges that, well, that, I know it. And I believe that I know what is right. Socrates said it best. The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing, period. But what he's really saying there with that is when you can accept that you know nothing, you can learn everything. So we get these little brief quotes from our philosophers, right? So much more what they're saying if you study them. And understanding that, Alex, is that that awareness expands when you can have an open mind and trust and embrace things that are outside of what you're used to and what you've grown accustomed to. So to really land this point, health is a priority. When you have optimized health, so much more can be put into your work. So much more can be put out into the influence you have. People will feel you differently. They will experience you differently. Relationships will naturally improve. Your decision-making will be more optimal because your mind is not clouded with stress and toxicity, et cetera. Awareness itself is the space in which your thoughts become aware of itself. So when you create more expansiveness inside you by being willing to embrace more of your intuitive side and stepping towards the unknown, that space grows and then more can actually come from that. So I hope that answered that question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's been absolutely amazing while speaking to you. Now, there'll be a lot of our listeners wondering, you know, how can we get hold of this guy? He's just been so amazing. So how can people find you, Wiley?
Sure. And I'm glad you asked that. Like I said earlier today, timetoerupt.com. It's a forwarded to McGraw.com. And my name is, you know, if you're running right now or working out or you're busy, you know, and you're just listening to this, trying to remember how to spell my name kind of sometimes is hard. People have messed my name up my entire life. But so timetoerupt.com, Alex, we'll take them right to this amazing character index that I created to really give high achievers a place to do more of a self-assessment to see if they have what it takes to be optimized. Then they can navigate through there because every aspect that I
am. Is that the correct?
That's perfect, brother. That's brilliant.
Brilliant.
I can delve into, I have articles on there that I've written, or like I told you, helping versus optimizing, or on the anti-retreat page that I have is called Why You Need to Get Unfucked. The five major contrasts that you need to understand to take yourself and your organization to the next level. It's another great piece that I put together so they can have that exploration. But my contact information is there. I'm going to be very direct here, Alex. I don't do sales funnels. I don't do lead magnets. I am not looking for you to follow me. If you like what I have, great. That's great byproduct. What I care about is pick up the phone and call. And this is a hard concept for people because they're like, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm not used to that. Everybody wants to sell me into the sales. And I got to sell. No, pick up the phone. If you have what it takes, pick up the phone. Have a conversation. And let's explore whether or not this would even be a right fit. I'm okay with that. But that's where they can get a hold of me. And then you and I are connected on LinkedIn.com for Wiley McGraw. So if anybody's connected with you there, they can jump right to the profile. I've been behind the scenes for 13 years. I finally come out into the digital world because I'm realizing how messed up our leaders are. And I want to provide them a new environment to really challenge themselves and take their performance to another level, which is why I'm starting to come out into the public now.
Wow. And I mean, you're saying that is just a classic example of the very same things that you've been championing and talking about. People, you know, being authentic, you and following what you understand and believe in. Because like you're saying, the environment out there, it's all about, you know, creating these funnels and generating, you know, being as popular as you can and generating things. But you are taking a different view that is authentic to you, that, you know, if someone, you know, resonates with your message, they are going to find you.
And it gives them the understanding that for me, I don't care about who you are. I don't care about your reputation. I don't care about your industry. I don't care about how much money you have. What I care about is your mindset and your desire.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, this is real relationship. I do not mess around. I very much built my business as the antithesis to all that on purpose. It demands me to be that way because I am so unique and different with the way I approach performance.
Yeah.
That those leaders that are listening going, you know what? I really pick up the phone, have a real conversation. Let's explore the calibration of each other and see if it makes sense, because that is where you're really going to know if you're ready to take yourself to an optimized state of performance.
Yeah.
And you're right, Alex, for me, it's like everybody's bombarded with the same old. And it's like, look, I care about privacy. That's why I don't talk about who I work with. Yeah. I protect who they are on purpose because it gives them that space, that environment to realize, wow, this is a real next level intimate. Mm. I can be as open as I need to be because everybody else is using their name for their own growth, right? It's like, oh, I worked with Tony Robbins because it's like, well, if I did, I would never tell you, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is me focusing on you, you focusing on you. Who cares about all the names?
Yeah.
That's it. Do you feel connected to this? Are you desiring peak performance? And are you willing to do what you've never done to attain it? Because if you are, pick up your phone. You've got my number. Shoot me an email. It's right there. Let's talk.
Brilliant. That's absolutely amazing. Well, I've really loved this conversation with you. So do you have any, let's say, last thoughts or wisdom or thing that our listeners should take away as
last we can thoughts do or wisdom. Yeah. The only way you're actually going to transform your life is if you're willing to face your own truth. Everything else you might feel that's transforming you is really transferring this motivational spirit into you, and it's temporary. That's why you never truly feel fulfilled. And that's why I said it earlier. I'll leave with this. An optimized leader is what transforms this world. An unresolved one is going to continue to distort it. And that's why I'm out in the world doing what I do. I'm giving this environment, this place for people that really want an unencumbered life, an optimized way of performing. I want to give them access to that and truly being willing to, like I said with you moments ago, allow that mind of yours to stay open, connect more to your own intuitive side and lean into the most uncomfortable of things, because that's where your capacity will in fact stretch when you're in real world challenge in real time. Anything else is going to leave the proverbial chips on the table and you're always going to be left grinding for more.
Amazing. That's an absolute perfect place to end. Wiley, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, you can just see by the time we've gone, you know, well beyond the time, because we're just so amazing talking to you. I feel like I can talk to you all day, you know, because you just...
Well, I mean, we should talk again, even regardless. I mean, at the end of the day, brother, I very much enjoyed
my time.
Well, so thank you so much again for having me. Thank you to everybody listening. It's very important, so I appreciate you.
Yeah, brilliant. I will definitely keep in touch, because there's a, you know, I believe in this energy. You know, you meet people for a reason, and sometimes you don't have to get bogged down into what that is. Just like you say about, you know, you're facing a challenge. Just let yourself, you know, trust that the right response will come, and that's the same thing around energies and you know, intuition and feelings you have for people. And so it's just been amazing speaking to you, and I'm sure we'll catch up again, you know, at some time very soon. So enjoy the rest of your day, and it's been a pleasure
having you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Wiley. Cheers.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.